Ask almost anyone who grew up in the tri-state area during the 1980s, and they will have a story and probably even a scar from the infamous amusement park, Action Park, or it was, as it was often known, Class Action Park or Accident Park. I personally grew up seeing thousands of commercials for the park, ones just like this.
Baby, let me take you where the action's hot.
A great place for the family this summer? Well, Action Park has 75 of the wildest, wettest family rides in the world just minutes away.
The action never stops at Action Park.
For Andy Mulvihill, Action Park was the family business. It was his home. And in his new memoir, Action Park, Fast Times, Wild Rides, and the Untold Story of America's Most Dangerous Amusement Park, he takes readers on an outlandish, hilarious, terrifying, and almost impossible-to-believe ride through the history of this iconic landmark. And we welcome Andy Mulvihill to the roundtable this morning. How are you, sir?
I am great. I am so excited to be on your show and talk about the book and my experience at Action Park.
Well,
unbelievable.
It's great to have you here. I'll tell you, I will admit, I didn't go to Action Park because my mom and dad wouldn't let me. And just playing that commercial we just played of how many times you say family park, that is hilarious, because the the place was really for like thrill seekers, right? I mean, that's what it was.
Well, you know, you're not all wrong there. I mean, we certainly we try to go after the families, and frankly, initially we really did attract a lot of families, and we had shows, Broadway shows, and country rock shows, and we had shopping, and we had, you know, some calm rides. But you're right. What really got people pumped up about Action Park were the thrilling rides. I mean, at Action Park, you could drive a race car, a speedboat, or a tank. You know, you could learn to fly, you could bungee jump, you could ride on a bobsled, or a water slide with a jump, or even a water slide with a 360-degree loop. So it wasn't a typical amusement park. You know, it was a participation park. You didn't just get strapped in and twirled around a little bit. You control the action. And, yeah, it did absolutely attract some wild young folks, for sure.
Now, Andy, you write at the beginning of this book about you being one of the original testers of the Cannonball Loop, which was really a very frightening ride, but it is you write it so beautifully. All of this, it seems a bit ramshackle. You are scared to go on it. You're getting pressure from your dad to go on it. You realize you just moments earlier had heard your father saying that he wants to be the Walt Disney of New Jersey. So there's great pressure on you. What was it about the creation of these types of attractions at Action Park, of what your dad and others were trying to accomplish with this amusement park?
You know, my dad was a guy that didn't settle for the ordinary. He wanted the extraordinary. You know, he wanted to show people something that they'd never seen before. He really wanted to, you know, if you're going to do something, you got to do something great. You know, mediocrity wasn't fun for him. And so what he would do is he would go out and try to find guys with really unique ideas and really do something that would get people fired up and make them want to come to the place. And he was successful at it. You know, people came by the millions and they had a great time.
What was it about the when did the park start to get the reputation? And rightfully so, right? I mean, the reputation of being dangerous, and then that danger becomes an attraction in and of itself. So when does that all start to come to the fore?
I don't know. I mean, the Alpine Slide is the one that gets pegged as, you know, a very dangerous ride. I mean, it was only dangerous if you were irresponsible in the way you operated it, but it opened, it was early on. I mean, that was one of the first rides, but as the place got bigger and bigger, and there were more and more rides and more people going, yeah, there were more incidents. But, you know, I don't know that it was the danger that attracted people. It was the thrills. It was the fun. It was like skiing, you know. At Action Park, if you wanted to go on a little simple ride and go slow, you could. Like you go skiing, go on the bunny hill. But if you want a real thrill when you ski, you go up to the steep slopes or you ski in the trees or the powder or go down the mogul field. That's fun, but there's risk associated with that. That was kind of my dad's approach to it. Let's give him something fun to do. And yeah, it's going to be a little bit of risk. And yeah, you could get hurt, but man, is it fun.
Yeah, and that is what, but it was sort of, you said a thrill, but it was, for people, they were often sort of daring each other, because that becomes interesting in and of itself, that, oh, I survived this, right? I mean, that's kind of the cool thing about some of these attractions.
You know, you're right. I mean, certainly the Cannonball Loop was about just surviving it. It wasn't fun, because it just twirled you around. You know, rides like Surf Hill, where you could go on a jump, that was really fun to do that well. But it was the competitive thing you really picked up on. That's so true. My dad loved competition. He always had us as kids playing basketball or baseball or football, competing against each other. They're often, when we go play basketball in the gym, a kid would come out of the gym crying. It just was the nature of it. And so he loved to see people compete. That's why a lot of it, we'd go karts where you could race each other. We had the Lola track where we timed you could try to beat someone else's time. We had water slides next to each other so you could race down. You know, there was so much competitive stuff there. And yeah, it pushed people to do some things that they maybe shouldn't have done.
Were you sued a lot?
You know, I guess it wasn't. The society wasn't quite as litigious back then as it is now. You know, my father was kind of ahead of his time in the fact that he was self-insured. And so he really managed the whole process. And when somebody would get hurt, we went out of his way to take a statement from them, to really take a report. And it was funny how 9 out of 10 times they'd start the story with, oh, well, I was fooling around, or I didn't follow the directions, or I was jumping right on my friend. So a lot of times it was, you know, it was ride or error. You know, if we were wrong, we try to pay the expenses and settle right away. If we thought we were right, we were famous for litigating all the way to the end, going to trial, and we were good and we often won.
You write in the book, at the beginning, the state would fine other parks or threaten them with shutdowns when a guest stubbed a toe. Action Park remained open for 20 years despite injuries being a near hourly occurrence. That says a lot right there, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, the regulators didn't really know what to do with Action Park because it wasn't an amusement park. It wasn't like, okay, here's another roller coaster. Here's the manual on what we need to check for roller coasters. You know, we would put up a ride. They wouldn't know what to check. They wouldn't know what to do with it. And my father would say, well, look, we shouldn't even apply any of these regulations because we're not an amusement park. We're a participation park. And, you know, he was a pioneer. He was trying to figure it all out. It was a new industry. And, you know, he was doing things that now are precursors to some of the extreme sports. They just, you know, they don't do them in amusement parks anymore. You got the X Games, but they do them elsewhere. And, you know, you got to understand, it was like a time when things were being figured out and where they belonged. And he did the best he could to show people a good time.
You touch on this in the book, and you just said it too, but the park was really a product of its time too, of the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly couldn't get away with what he did today. I mean, things are so regular. I'll just give you an example. We had a ride there, which is called the Tarzan Swing. You can imagine what it was. You get on a rope from the side of the hill, and you swing out into the water and let go. I mean, people have rope swings like that all over the country into lakes and rivers. And you know what? If you have bad shoulders, you can dislocate your shoulder going on. If you have a bad back, you can hurt your back. And then actually, if there's nothing wrong with you, you can get hurt. Does that mean that we shouldn't let anybody else go? For 40 years, the state of New Jersey let that thing go. Just a couple of years ago, it was one of the rides that survived. They just closed it down. They said, oh, and all of a sudden, it's no longer safe. I think that's crazy. To not let people go out and have a little bit of a thrill on something like that, because, yeah, someone could get hurt. I don't know. I don't know what to make of that.
So in our final moments, what remains of Action Park today?
You know, the Action Park is really gone. You know, all the fun rides have been taken down. It's a little, it's very tiny now. It's a little water park. But if you really want to see my dad's legacy, you know, he was an entrepreneur, and he, when he would finish something, he'd move on to the next thing. And he built a great place called Crystal Springs, which is a golf resort with spas and restaurants and wine cellars. It's a really cool place just up the road, Grand Cascades Hotel and Minerals. So you can see his spirit alive and well there if you come visit.
When was the last that for you and your dad was the end of Action Park as you know it?
Well, you know, we sold it in 96 to IntraWest, and they had it for 10 years, and then they wanted to sell it. We bought it back and operated it for a few years. My father passed when that happened, and my sister and I kind of decided that we couldn't recreate the Action Park magic, and it was time to move on. So we sold it to one of our partners, and we're now focused on operating Crystal Springs.
Mm. But it is—it does say a lot about what—I mean, the book is so fun because it's so nostalgic for so many people, because we all have these stories of Action Park.
Everyone's got one Action Park story. I've got hundreds, and we put the best ones in the book. I think people will really, especially in this time of COVID, you know, everybody's pent up and they just can't escape. You grab this book, you will escape what you're living in.
Absolutely. Well, the name of the book is Action Park: Fast Times, Wild Rides, and the Untold Story of America's Most Dangerous Amusement Park. Andy Mulvihill, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Best of luck with the book. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And you can get the book on actionparkbook.com. And have a great day. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.